One of the wonders of the internet is being able to find a favorite song online with just a few keystrokes.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, I must have made a typo here. Let's try something else.
Come back, baby, because I like to say I've been around the world back from Bombay.
That's much more like it. Listen, downloading music from the web has gotten considerably more difficult since the big record companies tamed Napster. A lot of us still get our music the old-fashioned way. We buy it at a store. But there are now a number of other online music swapping services who keep their servers overseas, and the five major record companies are setting up their own online sites this summer. Joining us from our New York bureau is the man for whom that last song by Red Hot Chili Peppers is written, Joe Nocera, executive editor at Fortune magazine. Joe, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Scott. You got any Sinatra?
Yes, yeah. Yes. We've got a little chairman of the board here. Has the record industry now accepted the internet as their future delivery system?
They say they have, but if you look at the services that they're putting out, you sure do have to wonder. They take care of Napster. They take them to court. They win this copyright violation lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And basically, Napster is pretty useless for those all of us who love downloading free copyrighted music.
Right.
So what happened was, suddenly, being able to download music becomes a political issue. And Senator Hatch holds a series of hearings in Washington, and the music companies all say, oh, don't worry, we're going to do this. And so the five major record companies have all banded together to put together their own online consortium. But the closer you look at these services, the worse they are, and the more you realize that there's no way on God's green earth that anyone who actually wants to download music are going to use these services.
Well, how are they worse?
Well, first of all, they're subscription-based. So
you mean you have to pay money?
You have to pay $20 a month or something along those lines to have access to the music.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, each of the services is only going to have the music of the people in the consortium. And nobody looks at music that way. Nobody thinks about, oh, boy, I want to get the Time Warner catalog because that's the music I'm interested in. So that's crazy. The third thing is, they're not allowing you to own the music for your $20 a month. They're only allowing you to rent it. And believe it or not, if you click your subscription off, all your music vaporizes. They don't allow you to download it into an MP3 player. They don't allow you to burn it onto a CD.
So even though you're paying $20 a month, you can't keep your copy of the trolley song?
That's right. And on one of the services, you can't even download it into your hard drive. All it does is streams across the way a voice does or one of the, a temporary video. And then it goes away.
Well, it sounds like it's, in the end, meant to force people to buy CDs.
Well, here's the problem. There are about to become competing services for pay that will work a whole lot better. And the most obvious one of this is MTV. MTV has a license from all five of the music companies to license their songs. They're going to allow you to download music permanently, and they're going to allow you to do it on a per-song basis, so you'll pay, a buck a song or something. Mm-hmm. And that sounds a whole lot smarter than what the music companies are doing. Second of all, and this is the big problem, they can't close Pandora's box here. They got rid of Napster, but if you look out into the landscape, you will find a ton of other free music sites that are doing exactly what Napster did. Now, I found this out because after Napster closed, I was in my house one day and I saw my 13-year-old downloading music. And I said, where are you getting this from? And he said, oh, there's this thing, iMesh.
That's the Israeli company, right?
And that's the other problem. See, these companies are not in the United States. One's called iMesh. They're in Israel. Yeah. One's called WinMX. They're in Canada. Mm-hmm. One's called Kazaa.
Dutch
and
guys.
They're in the Netherlands. And, their attitude is, copyright law is fine for the U.S., but it doesn't affect us. I actually think the moment when the record companies will emerge from this trough that they're in is when they just say, okay, yeah, there's going to be free music online, but there's still going to be a whole lot of people who want to buy it in stores or are going to want to have the whole CD. But the whole notion that they can set up a pay system when there's all these free systems out there is just implausible.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, I find myself conflicted on this because on the one hand, in theory, of course, music should be freely available to people. At least they shouldn't have to always pay through the nose for it. Of course, on the other hand, artists ought to be paid, right? That's what they do for a living.
Absolutely, artists should be paid. I mean, that's what copyright is supposedly all about. I would like to remind you, though, that music companies haven't exactly treated artists well over the years. And the fight that the music companies are making right now is not about treating the artists well.
Yeah.
It's about treating themselves well. And they feel if they can't get control of this thing, ultimately, they will be the losers.
Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Joe Nocera, executive editor of Fortune Magazine, speaking with us from New York.